However,
it's time that we left these old stories, time that we got back to chapter 8 of the Sutra of Golden Light. We probably now have a fairly clear idea of what the goddess Lakshmi represents, that is to say, the modern Hindu goddess Lakshmi. She's worldly prosperity, she's wealth and riches, especially in the more domestic aspect. We could perhaps say that she is affluence, or even that she is economics. So what does she do? What does she do in the sutra? What does the goddess Shri do? As we've seen, she promises to give the monk who preaches the sutra five things: zeal, garments, begging bowl, bed, seat, and medicines, and other excellent equipment. And she does this, as we've seen, so that he can preach the sutra properly and so that all beings can benefit. Now, what does this mean? What does this represent? It means that wealth and riches are placed at the service of the monk who is the preacher of the sutra, that they're placed at the service of the Dharma, placed at the service of the golden light. So Lakshmi represents, or rather Shri represents, wealth and riches devoted to spiritual ends. In fact, we can say that Lakshmi, the Hindu goddess Lakshmi, represents wealth and riches devoted to worldly ends, and Shri, the Buddhist goddess Shri, represents wealth and riches devoted to spiritual ends. Lakshmi, we can say, is economics in general, but Shri, we may say, is Buddhist economics. And this, of course, is the title of our lecture tonight, Buddhist Economics. Now, before I go any further, I have a small confession to make, which is that the title of the lecture is not original. As some of you will have guessed, I've borrowed it from Dr. E.F. Schumacher. Dr. Schumacher is the author of an interesting and important book called Small is Beautiful, a book which I think every order member, mitra and friend should read. And in this book there's a chapter called Buddhist Economics. And it's interesting to see that his point of departure is exactly the same as my own. This chapter on Buddhist economic opens with the following statement. Dr. Schumacher says, "Right livelihood is one of the requirements of the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path. It is clear, therefore, that there must be such a thing as Buddhist economics." So this chapter on Buddhist economics in his book, Small is Beautiful, explores the implications of this statement. Explores them within a predominantly modern, non-traditional context. In this lecture, we're concerned with Buddhist economics within a predominantly traditional context, a context of spiritual life, context of the Sutra of Golden Light. Nevertheless, I find myself in fundamental agreement with Dr. Schumacher's approach, and I think, in fact, that he's very much on the right lines. I'm glad that his book has received so much attention, and I hope it will continue to receive, in fact, will receive still more. I hope more and more people will act also on its recommendations. In short, to put it in Buddhist terms, I rejoice in Dr. Schumacher's merits, and I hope you will too, at least that you'll do so after reading his book. Now, I also rejoice in the great goddess Shri's merits, rejoice in the promise that she makes. In fact, having understood who the great goddess Shri is, I want to take up the second of our two questions, which is, what is the significance of her promise? And I want to examine first the fundamental nature of that promise, and secondly, the nature and significance of the things she promises to give. Also want to say a few words about the relation between the monk and the laity. It'll then be time to deal with the rest of chapter 8 of the Sutra of Golden Light, the chapter on Sri.